Yeah! Sermon's over, I'm going home. I like it. Praise God. Elaine, thank you very much, because if I was not worthy of the task, I now feel it. Hi guys, how you doing? Real briefly, before we get into the Word, as Elaine said, I am a single father, and I do head up the outreach ministry here, which I am very proud to say we have many volunteers who are sitting amongst you. And we also have many recipients who are sitting amongst you. So praise God for that. Today, like I said yesterday, I have to be honest. When Vaughn asked me to come up, I am not used to preaching to church folks. I am used to preaching to the unsaved. I'm used to being out on the streets. So this is a nice change of pace. I got to say, I enjoy looking out and seeing your faces. However, when I started talking to Vaughn, the very first thing he said to me was that you are not allowed to preach about salvation, and that you are not allowed to preach about the outreach ministry. And so, of course, my gut reaction was, well, we're going to have us a real short service, folks. He's putting an awful lot of trust in me to figure out what to say. Is that still up? Put the Fighting Irishman back up. No. But after I started getting into the Word, I realized that God had a purpose and a plan for this, and he needed to teach me something too. And so, of course, God being God in his infinite sense of humor, he pointed out a whole bunch of scriptures about the subject for today, which Vaughn asked me to speak about, In God We Trust. And, of course, the very first scripture that I managed to bring my eyes to after God pointed out all these scriptures was Proverbs 28:25, which is the proving ground that among the people in this church, I have more trust than anyone. Because what does it say? He that is proud is of a proud heart, stirreth up strife. But he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. And so now I come to you with a full heart and a fat belly and say, I truly have trust and I am truly glad to be here today. Lord Father in heaven, before we get into the seriousness of your word, I just want to ask for your blessing over today's service. I want to ask, Lord, that you bless us on the in and out, that as we come in, we feel you and know you and understand you, and that as we go out, we take that feeling and that knowledge and that understanding, and we pass it out to the people that are all around us. Lord, I'm going to ask that in this moment, that in this time, you make your word the truth to us, that you reveal it to us, that you show us, that you give us your grace and your glory and your understanding, and that truly our hearts become convicted with some little thing that's spoken today. Lord, bless the people who sit in front of me, and bless the people who need to be sitting in front of me and aren't here today. Amen. So like I said, it's kind of a funny thing. When God showed up, he showed me his sense of humor right away. God is an awesome God. Because when I saw that scripture, it immediately lightened my heart. Because in God we trust, I spent weeks and weeks thinking about this, guys. And I'll tell you what, in God we trust is just tough. Because you get locked into this idea of trust, and you spend... you can trust in one thing. Today will not be the exact service that it was yesterday. But because when you trust in God, he changes it all the time. All the time. He changes what you're thinking, what you're perceiving, where you should be going, and what you should be doing. He just does. He changes what you trust in. Because trust is wrapped up in every single thing that we have. Trust is wrapped up in faith and love and marriage and understanding and revelation. When you walk into this place, I've been around a lot of these folks for a while, and I've been around Vaughn for 10 or 11 years now, and trust me, over that span of time, there's always trust issues. You beat each other up, you make mistakes, you do stupid things, and over that time, what you come to realize is that where your trust really lies is not so much in the people around you as in the God that's in the people around you. Okay, and if you haven't seen that, then you really, truly, honestly, you need to figure that out. You need to understand that. One of the things I love so much about this place is that when I walk in the door here, being an evangelist by nature, by God's nature, as much as I love to build and do and work, I love that I can walk into this building and that I can trust that Josh, for example, is in charge of making things right around here. And Jonah, making things right around here, making this building right. Things being torn up, things being rebuilt, things being redone, There's constantly work going on in this place. I trust in these guys to get it done where I can't lay my hands on it. And all of you should be, for lack of better words, you should be trusting in them too. Trust in what God is doing in them, because God is doing miraculous and incredible things in this place. If you actually look around, I'll tell you what, just really look. Look at the improvements in our building. Look at the improvements in the people in our building. Look at the improvements in what we're doing in the community. These are not small things. These are trust issues. They're trust issues because you have a pastor who trusts in the Lord. You have a pastor who has enough trust in his heart, in Vaughn, as an oversized Irishman, or Englishman, excuse me, pardon the faux pas, he'll never forgive me. But in an oversized Englishman, he's trusting a redneck to get up here and talk to you today. Right? Because he trusts in the Lord, because he trusts in the Word of God that's going to come out today. He's trusting the Word of God that comes out. He's trusting in the lives of the people around him. He's trusting in the Joshes and he's trusting in the Jonas because he's trusting in the God within them. Just like I do when I look out and I see your faces, what I see is I see people who are ready, willing, and able to do the work of the Lord. See, I'm not looking at what you were. I'm looking at what you will be. My trust is in the Lord. Where is your trust? See, when you look at people and you're able to criticize and critique them and hurt them and wound them, and unintentionally, we do it. We're not trusting in the Lord for where that person will be. We're trusting in our judgment. We're looking at that person. We're not trusting in the Lord for where that person will be. See, God showed me a long time ago that when I look at people, I need to not look at who they've been. I need to look at where they're going. And so I can say in all honesty that when I stand here and I look at this congregation, what I see is a group of people who can be, who will be, who are ministers, who are gospel preachers, who are evangelists, who are pastors. And what I'm finding is that this theme, when you trust in the Lord, is coming out lately in every single thing that we do. Here's an example. We go into the jails. Now, I'll be honest with you. I had bowed out of doing the prison ministry for a while because my heart is so into outreach. Vaughn came up to me one day and he said, well, we need to go in and do the Ulster County Jail. Because it just so happened that because of my relationship with TLC in the past and other things that I was able to go into the jail. And so I said, all right, Vaughn, if you think we need to go in, I'll go in. I had already bowed out of doing the prison, so why did I want to go into the jail? I didn't. But I trusted in the Lord that the word of God that came through Vaughn's mouth that we needed to go in, we were going to do. We needed to do it. That I needed to do what God wanted me to do. So I stepped up to the plate and the two of us went into the jail and it was just one of the most mind-blowing and outstanding experiences of my life. I loved it. I've been in prisons before. I've had guys come to the Lord before. We walked in the first time and there's, I don't remember, there was four guys in the class or six guys in the class, something ridiculous like that. We prayed and I spoke and Vaughn sat back and went, yep, okay, great. And I spoke and two of the guys came to the Lord. And then right after that, Vaughn got up and spoke. And you see tears in their eyes because they're already figuring out that they got a purpose in their life. They're already starting to trust the Lord, more than some of the people that are sitting in the churches now. They're in jail and they're seeing that they could be a preacher or a pastor someday. They're seeing that they can be a minister or an outreach minister. Awesome. The next time we went into the jail, I still didn't want to go in. We went in and here we go again. There's another four guys sitting in the room. Well, I guess, I don't know the circumstances. All I know is that God wanted more people in there and I was trusting in God. Because he said that they set off some kind of a stink bomb in there. I couldn't even tell you what it was. But a stink bomb was enough to drive another 10 guys into the classroom. All right, Lord, Vaughn and I start cracking. It's funny, let's face it. If a stink bomb gets you in to listen to the word, I'm all right with that. So they come in, and we had six guys receive the Lord that night. Well, praise God for a stink bomb. You know what I'm saying here? The circumstances and the things that happen are not the things that we look at. The stink bomb was not the things that we're looking at. What I was doing was trusting in the word of God that we needed to be in that jail. We needed to be in that jail at that time because A bunch of guys have gotten saved now. Did I want to do it? Nope. No. Let's face it, in the beginning of my walk personally and doing this outreach thing, I didn't want to do it. For those of you who don't know, I'm a single father. I know Elaine said in the beginning, and I thank you for that. But I'm a single father. I take care of four kids, and they're young. My oldest is 11. And that's cool. That's all right. The circumstances of how it came about are not all right. It was painful. It was hard. And it still is. There's a lot of things that still happen. But in the beginning of that, years ago, I started hearing that small voice in the back of my head that told me that I needed to get into ministry full time. Then that small voice in the back of my head became a large voice standing in front of me by the name of Vaughn, who said, "You need to go in and quit your job." What? No. See, I had already heard that. Come on now. How many times you hear things and you ignore them? Come on, that little voice. It's there. I know you hear it. And you ignore it just like I do. If you don't, you're much, much better than me. Come talk to me later. I could use your help. All right? So after that still small voice that I didn't listen to, there was a large English voice that came in front of me and said, "You need to go quit your job." Crazy. How can you do that? Well, I went and quit my job. And I've been home for several years now, taking care of my children without an income. We're doing it by grace, by faith, because I trust in the Lord. I don't trust in man. It wasn't even an issue of trusting in the guy who came to me and said the words. It was trusting the God that backs him up. Who are you putting your trust in? Don't make the mistake of trusting the people around you. Trust the God that's in the people around you. Trust what he's doing. He's doing some miraculous things here. And it all started from a little thing in the front yard in my house. I mean, like I said yesterday, if you were to look at my front at my yard, even now, to this day, it looks like Billy Bob Brubaker's antique and auto shop. There's a lot of be-done stuff in that yard. You can come on over and shop for anything you need. I quite literally have an entertainment center in my front yard. Ask my daughter, she'll tell you. I got a few cars. I got a couch sitting on top of a car. And what's great now is that when you go inside the house, you can actually go inside the house. I have neighbors. Ask Bob and Lisa Flynn in the beginning of this. they had a lot of grace in their lives because they were able to come over and visit. And it had to be terrifying. Because in the beginning of this whole little outreach thing, let me tell you what. There was a lot of stuff packed in my house. I had 4, 5, 6 couches in there at times. A couple of refrigerators and freezers. And at this time, we were down on Sauk Hill. And I quit my job. Here I am sitting with a house full of stuff. I mean, literally, bicycles. What? I mean, name it. It was in my house. My kids parted through the red seas of stuff and went to bed at night. It was awesome. Why was I doing it? Because, see, after I didn't listen to the still small voice before, I did listen to the still small voice the next time when God told me, "You need to be in the ministry. You need to be moving full time in outreach." What he said to me specifically was not that I was going to be a minister, specifically. What he said to me was, "You are going to take stuff that people give to you and you are going to give it away. And you are going to do this forever. Forever. You will always give things away. You will never charge. You will never ask for gas money. You will never ask for anything. You will take things that are given to you by the people around you and you will give them away." And I went, "All right." And it started in my house. And it got ugly fast. Because anybody who knows me knows that I don't go into anything halfway. So even though I was hiding it in my house because my trust was in the Lord, but the world was telling me how I couldn't do it. See, you got to understand, when you put your trust in the Lord, most oftentimes, the world is going to tell you that you cannot do it. The world is going to tell you that you can't survive, that you can't manage, that you can't live. And I'll tell you, because I'm not a pastor, I'm going to say this. It's crap. And Vaughn can edit that out later, or Josh if you want to. Thank you, Josh. So we sound all prim and proper. But let's face it, it's the truth. It is. It's garbage. See, the world is going to tell you, the world told me in the beginning, I'm going to share a bit of my heart and be honest with you here. The world told me in the beginning that as I had four children, that I would not be able to do anything like this. That I would not be able to teach, that I would not be able to preach, that I would not be able to give, that I would not be able to do. The world told me that I had to stay home and take care of my kids. And in fact, parts of the world, namely the state of New York, said, you need to get a job. And you need to put your kids in daycare. And you need to work full time like a fool and come home and then take care of your children and go to bed and do the same thing every single day. Well, I had already been there, done that, tried that, and it didn't work. I had a great job. Don't misunderstand, I've never been a lazy person. I had a great job. I loved it. I quit it because I needed to quit it. So slowly I stopped listening to the things that the world were telling me, and I started listening to the things that God was telling me. God was telling it to me through the people around me. And I thank God for the visionaries that are in this place that knew before I knew it that we needed a new church and a bigger church. And I'm going to tell you all the same exact story, one of the same stories I told yesterday, because it so touched my heart and it's so true. That when we first got into this building, we were standing downstairs, Vaughn and I. And like I said, I've known him for a while. And he looked out over the cafe, and it was stripped down, and it was broken down, and it was beaten up, and it needed help. And he said, look at this. This is my vision. This is my cafe for the community, for the kids, for the people to come to be blessed and to enjoy. And I went, man, that's great. I said, isn't it funny? My vision is outside the church on the right-hand side. It's a trailer. So that now my stuff is not so much in my yard anymore. Well, now we got a trailer full of stuff. You'll notice I say we. See, because if you're trusting in the vision of God, that's your trailer. I'm just the guy that happens to know what's in it. See, your God is a great God. Your God is a God who just sent people to Zambia. Your God is a God who's going to send people to Guatemala. Your God is a God that's going to send people to other places in Africa. Your God is a God that's bringing a guy from England here. Where are you putting your trust? Are you putting your trust in that God? Or are you putting your trust in the people around you in your life? Now, I'm not saying everybody needs to make a leap of faith and go out and quit their job like I did. That's just not exactly what you're supposed to do. Most of you are supposed to keep your job. Cool. Do that. Officially, we can strike that on the record that I am not telling anybody to quit. But what I am telling you is this. When you go to that job and you're thinking about your work and you're doing your work, where are you putting your trust? Are you putting your trust in what the Lord is telling you to do in your job, or are you putting your trust in what your boss is telling you to do in your job? See, put your trust in the Lord, then you're going to do what he says and you're not going to worry about it. Because you know where your trust is. Are you putting your trust in your paycheck? Or are you putting your trust in the God who put you in a position to get the paycheck? Even though you don't think about it every day, that's really what happened. Because by his grace, you got the job. And just that simply, you can be pulled out of it in 2 seconds. I thank God because I was over it. We started a home group over in Kerhonkson. And it's an awesome home group. We're having a great time. In fact, just this morning, I know Jimmy's going to love this. And Elaine. We've already got, I don't know what, a bunch of people there. We got a bunch of people there who don't even come to the church because they live out there, and they can get to the home group so we can bless them. And then as we can, we get them into the church so that they can see what we're like here. Some of them are here today, sitting right next to you. But the home group out there in Kerhonkson, we're having a blast. In fact, I just talked to two young ladies this morning who needed some stuff for outreach. We couldn't get them to service this morning, and they're going to come to the home group on Wednesday. Now, these are two people who are unchurched, who are unsaved, who are coming to the home group. What an awesome blessing home group is, I'll tell you what. See, but that home group and all the other home groups are an action of trusting in the Lord, not trusting in man. Because I'll tell you what, unless you're involved in that home group, you don't know the opposition that's come against that home group. You don't know the opposition that came against this church. You come in and listen to service on Sunday and get blessed and enjoy yourselves. But let me tell you what, you don't know the opposition that came against it. I don't, and I only know some of it. I don't know all of it. But you got people around you that put their trust in God, and that's why we ended up in this place. And you got people around you that put their trust in God and not in man, and that's why we ended up with a Kronks and Home Group. We were over setting up for it the other day, and I got really blessed. This guy comes by who I've never met, Dennis, and he's got this stack of baseball hats. Well, we've already demonstrated the fact that I'm a little on the redneck side, right? So, baseball hats, really? I never met the guy before, but he had this pile of baseball hats. Well, he starts giving Jim the baseball hats, and of course, every one of them ended up in my pocket anyway. Because now I got my four little redneck children running around with baseball hats on them to say, I love Jesus. I just thought it was awesome. Now, here's a guy I've never met before that's coming by with baseball hats that were absolutely just made for me because every one of them had Jesus on it. Including one of them that some of y'all need to recognize. You need to, where are you putting your trust? See, one of the hats he handed me that I love so much is this one. Can you see it? Jesus is my boss. Jesus is my boss. That's one of the hats he handed me. I think that's cool. Because Jesus is my boss now. I didn't learn that until I quit my work. See, you guys can learn it while you're still in work and do much better. Just remember who's in charge. Brandon, you're a young man. Remember that for all of your life and you'll do all right. That's yours. He's not a redneck, so he probably won't wear it. Do you understand the point of what I'm saying to you here, guys? Where are you putting your trust? I'll say the word a million times until someone in here can tell me they're getting it. I got a point maker out in the thing. We can bring it back in. Anybody who's seen my point maker knows what I'm talking about. That's the sledgehammer out in the outreach trailer. I keep it around. That's just something I've decided I'm not giving away yet. Now watch, someone will come to me tomorrow and want it. Where are you putting your trust? See, I was telling last night, and it's absolute truth. In the Old Testament, I found it remarkable that as I was reading through Scripture and what God was showing me in the Old Testament, you see tons of examples of trust. You see tons of examples of faith. You see tons of examples of, and like I said, all these things are intertwined. The trust is intertwined in everything else that you do. Okay? But in the Old Testament, there's 100, in the Scripture, there's 149 times that trust is talked about, which I find that to be remarkable, 149 times. And of that, 109 of them are in the Old Testament, which I think is really cool. And I got to be honest with you, as I was reading through and trusting God to give me something for today and yesterday, He did. And what He showed me was, in a major part, in the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, which I find to be outstanding, is that in the Old Testament, you have your Esthers, and you have your Ruths, and you have your Naomis, and you have your Moses, and you have Abraham, and all of these men and women that absolutely trusted in the Lord with all their heart. Was it easy? No. No. You know, I personally do not, I want to have enough trust to not have to see a burning bush. I'll take it if He's got to give it to me, but I'm hoping to have enough trust not to see a burning bush. But in the Old Testament, you'll notice if you read through, all these guys, these Esthers and everybody else, that what they always prayed about, what they always talked about, was the needs. Esther needed to see the Jewish people saved, right? It was always about what they needed physically. That was what they trusted in the Lord for, which is awesome. We all need to do that. But you're going to see by the end of this how that dynamic changes, because as New Testament believers, things are a little different. I want to share you something from Proverbs. This is a scripture that each and every one of us should really stand on. And it's Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. See, where are you putting your trust? When you put your trust in the Lord, He will guide your paths. He's the one that's doing it, not me. Not the guy next to you. Not you. See, if you start thinking about it in your own way, you're going to get it all screwed up. I guarantee it. There's no other way to put it. Right? See, in the Old Testament, people prayed and worked, and that's all they had. They looked to God for everything they had in their lives. They looked to God to get out of Egypt. They look for God for the finances to make things right. Job sat and prayed to get his life back that he had lost because he didn't understand it. Now the dynamic is, we're New Testament church. And what you got to recognize is that the difference is that all in the New Testament, the trust goes both ways. Which is something that as a church, we have a tough time with. See, we trust in God. And once you trust in God for your salvation, the rest of it should come easy. But, of course, we still work through the problems and the strife and the mistrust. And, you know, we've had broken marriages and we've had broken homes and we've had broken children and we've had financial problems and we've had how many difficulties, guys? If I don't name it, I know you can. And every one of those things violates our trust in one way or another. After you trust in salvation, the rest is supposed to be easy. See, what you're trusting is that God's going to do what he's supposed to do while you do what you're supposed to do. And now in the New Testament, where it changes is in 1 Thessalonians. But we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. This is 1 Thessalonians 2:4, by the way. We have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Even so, we speak not pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor cloak for covetousness when God is witness, nor did we seek the glory of men, either from you or from others. I'm going to stop it there. Because the main point of what I'm saying here is the very first part. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. See? It's no longer an issue of us trusting in God. It's also now God has placed in us a trust. And that trust is right here in front of you. It's in your Bible. It's in your gospel. It's we are supposed to be the ones doing the work and doing the things. Remember what I said to you in the beginning about hearing that still small voice in the back of your head? This is what I'm going to tell you. Trust that when you hear that voice, it's God. Trust. There are too many examples around you, and I'll give you more. And when you walk away from this place, if you need even more, tell me. I'm going to tell you. Excuse me. I'm going to tell you that there was a day that I got asked to go to Shokan to pick up a couch. And, of course, at Shokan's a long drive. I don't feel like going to Shokan, but I'm going to go. Because the Lord tells me I need to go out to Shokan and get this couch. So I got to Shokan and get the couch. I'm driving back to the church with the couch. Been loaded 5 minutes, and I'm on the way back. And I get a phone call from a lady down in Broadway East, a lady who very consistently calls us when she knows people who needs things. And this lady says, I know somebody who needs a couch. I said, okay, great. I got one. Where do you want me to go? It's on a roof. She said, well, it's not that easy. I said, okay, what's the problem? Well, she has some medical conditions and she really needs a high back couch. I said, great. I got a high back couch on a roof. Where am I going? She said, well, it's not that easy. She's got some back problems. She has a little trouble getting up and down. It really needs to sit a little higher. I said, great. I got a high back couch with long legs sitting on my roof. Where am I going? And then she said to me the most surprising thing of all. That's wonderful. We're going to bring it over to the house, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to get some nice covers for it so we can make it blue and put flowers on it so that it will match this lady's living room. She's going to love it. She's going to love it. She's going to love it. I said, really? That's awesome. I have a high back couch with long legs, and it's blue and has flowers all over it. So the couch that I did not want to pick up in Shokan, within 5 minutes of picking it up, God had a purpose for it. And it ended up never coming to this church, never coming to my house, never made it anywhere but to that lady's house. See, where do you put your trust? When you hear that little voice, trust me, jump on it, it's God. It is. When you hear the big English voice, trust me, it's God. Not the guy. The voice behind it. Because he's been listening for years. When you hear someone standing up in front of this church and going, we got to do some construction. We got to build. We got to tear. We got to wreck. We got to destroy. Woohoo! Redneck. You know, I think it's kind of ironic that you guys never called me to fix things, only to break them. Just on a side note, can we remember that, please? Anyway. When you hear them coming up and talking, when you hear someone coming up and talking about Zambia and the trip they're going to make, when you hear someone coming up and talking about the youth and the things they want to do, little field trips, you know, most of the kids around here are going to the Egg. Our kids are going where? Guatemala, huh? How cool is that? That's our little field trips. So you're going to tell me that when you hear these things that you can't trust that that's God? Nah, you need to trust that that's God. Because only God is making arrangements for our teenagers to get to Guatemala. Only God is making arrangements for this guy to go to Zambia and fix things. Because only God was getting him out of Greene County. Fact. Am I right, Raj? See, he trusted that small voice. You got to trust that. Where are you putting your trust? It's in God. That's all there is to it. Nothing complicated. So let's pray. I want you to think about the words you heard and see what area of your life you can turn over and into trusting God. And trust me and watch the miracles happen. Watch in your life the trailer that's on the side of the church that keeps getting empty and keeps getting refilled. See what I mean? Somewhere in your life, there's a trailer that keeps getting empty. And you need to trust in God to refill it. Because he wants you to give that stuff out. He doesn't want you to sit here and hold on to it. Trust in him. Just trust in him. Let's pray, and then we're going to listen to Lisa, because she's got some important stuff for us. And you need to listen and know that God's in the words that she's speaking to you tonight. Lord, Father in heaven, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you, Lord, that you allow us to come together at moments like this, and you allow us to laugh and to cry, and you allow our hearts to be touched, Lord. I want to say thank you, Lord, that truly that by standing up here speaking, you were able to help me to trust more in you. I want to say thank you, Lord, that your trust is the most amazing thing, and that you and you alone can make it stronger and better. I want to say thank you, Lord, for the people that sit around me and knowing that they're going to go out and do good and right things that you would call them to do. I want to thank you, Lord, that we have a congregation of people that are ready and willing and able, and a congregation of people that have been seen as being the pastors and preachers and evangelists of the future. And that I'm trusting in you, Lord, that it will come true. Bless everyone who sits in this place. Bring to them your holy word. And let them step forward from this place and be even a better person than they are sitting in here. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and glory and for our time together. And amen. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Pat. That was really great. And actually, it kind of really goes with what I have to say. First of all, I would like all the ushers to come up front, and they're going to pass out. They have a basket, and in the basket there are cards and pens. If you would take one card and one pen per family. As most of you know, this building was flooded about 3 weeks ago. Thankfully, we had several volunteers to step up, and they put in a lot of hours ripping up carpets. They had to dig out the entire foundation on the side, which I'm sure you've heard the stories. One was telling you as they were digging, it was sand and it was collapsing. One night they were here until 2:30 in the morning. Over the last 3 weeks, the following projects have been completed or have been started. We had the foundation drain installation. We had the demolition and an extension of the roof repair outside, which was leaking. We had extensive repairs done in the kitchen. We've had window replacements. As you've come up the stairs, you'll notice there's a new window in there that was rotted. We took out the one that was rotted. There's a new one now. There were all the flood damage repairs, pulling up the carpets, pulling up the tiles, replacing things. And because of the demolition outside, to fix all that, we need to re-side. All right? If we had hired contractors to do all this work, we've estimated that the cost would have exceeded $50,000. We were blessed that we have a lot of skilled hands in this house, and we were able to accomplish all the work for just under $20,000. We have an immediate need right now to cover those expenses. Now, I know some of you out there need to invest $1,000. Listen to what the Lord is putting on your heart, as Pat just said. Trust in what the Lord is telling you. But it's not just big investments that we need. If every family gave an additional $10 or $15 a week for the next couple of months, we would have more than enough to cover the costs. I'd really like you to pray about how you can invest in this project. This is our church. This is our home. There's more repairs that need to be done. We'd like to dedicate the entire month of April to this cause. Therefore, each week, we're going to make available to you the opportunity to invest in this project. I'm happy to report, and I can say it because he's not here, Vaughn and Wendy already gave the first $1,000. What I'd like you to do is look at the cards that you've been given. If you don't have your checkbooks with you, if you're not prepared to do anything this week, just pray about how God would have you move in this house. And then trust on what he tells you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read a scripture, and then the ushers will come around. And when they do, if you'd like to give an offering today, you can place it in the basket. Also place your investment cards and your pens in the basket. And they'll come up in just a minute. David said in 1 Chronicles 29:3, it's right on your card, "Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasures of gold and silver." I'd like if the ushers could come up now. They're going to come through, and they'll collect your cards and your pens and any offerings that you may want to place today. While they're doing that, I'd also like you to prepare your hearts for communion. Alice Wilson's going to come and share a word. We'll just wait for a moment as the ushers have opportunity to get through the aisles. If you didn't have time to fill out your card, what I'm going to do is we'll leave an empty basket on the back table, and at the end of the service you can just throw your pen and your card or your offering in that basket. Thank you.
In a few minutes, the communion service will pass out the elements, but we're going to begin to do things just slightly different with communion here in this body. We're going to ask, after you receive the elements, that you would please hold them, and a few minutes after, we will partake of them together and receive that blessing together. And then after we have done that, the ushers will come. You can pass your cups to the end of the aisle, and they'll collect them from you. You know, the disciples and Jesus' friends and the Jewish people of those times, they would get together and they would celebrate the Passover meal together. And they were remembering what happened when they were instructed to make a sacrifice of a lamb and to take that blood and sprinkle it over the door of their household, so that when the angel of death came by, they would not experience the death of their firstborn if they had that blood over their house. We celebrate the Lord's Supper because Jesus is our Passover lamb, and he is the one who shed his blood and sacrificed his life so that we would have life. And he sacrificed his life for the whole world and for all who would believe in that. So we take the Lord's Supper as a believer. So today, when you receive the elements and the ushers, the servers can come and start serving. When you receive the elements, hold them. Think about what Jesus did. He told us to do it, to remember him. Reflect on your life in the Lord and think about what his blood has done for us, and hold the elements, and then, as I said, we'll partake together. On the same night in which Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Lord, together we have received in faith all that you have provided to us by your sacrifice of your broken body and your shed blood for us. There are not enough words in our hearts to thank you, to praise you, and to bless you for all that this new covenant is and what it represents in our lives, for our today's and our tomorrow's, Lord. We thank you. We stand in faith, and we receive everything that you have for us in this new covenant. In Jesus' name, amen.
Conclusion of our service. We just want to let you know that if any of you would like prayer for any reason, either a touch in your body or you just need to hear from the Lord today, we have a ministry team available to pray for whatever you need to have prayer for. We also want to invite you down to our cafe. We have some awesome refreshments down there for you. We'd love to meet you if you're willing to hang out with us for a little while and get to know us. Be blessed. Father, we just thank you for this beautiful day, the day that you've given us to come and worship together and just be a body together and be a family. And Father, I bless each family here in your name as we go out and do your work today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.